Communication. So, when we talk about communication, what do you think communication could be used for in your life, in our life, in your jobs, in your just outside social activities, in school? What can you use communication for? What do you think? What ways do you use communication? Talking how? Face-to-face, about, like, soccer. What do you use communication for?
We need to communicate with each other by, for example, if you look at someone, you're playing this way, striker, I'm playing center, like, I go up to the phone, you can need to put forward up to this guy at the call.
So it directs people what they need to do, where they need to go. Communication is a great tool with that, because in your work life, that helps you. Yeah.
At work, if there's no communication between up front and kitchen, nothing gets done because we end up handing out the wrong food, just small stuff that's big stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, think about that. In a food or in a restaurant, if there's no communication between the front people and the back people in the that are cooking the food, food won't happen. Customers don't get served. That's a bad thing if you're a restaurant and you're fast food. That's nothing happens. There's no production. And that's what communication leads to. If there's no communication, there's no production that can happen. Everything is stalled. Bad teams, bad groups, they don't communicate. That is a common thread amongst any team and organization that has failed, and usually failed horribly. There's a lack of communication. And so that's why it is a super important skill that you already do every day, but you need to focus on getting better at it for your professional sake. Okay, so there's three areas I would tell you that are key in communication. Listening, verbal, and writing. Because of our shortened time today, I just want to touch on the first two. Not that writing is any less important, because just FYI, employers, hires state that you need to know how to write, and if you don't know how to write that as a skill, they can't hire you because of all the things you have to write on a job. The biggest one being an email. And so if you don't know how to communicate with an email and writing, you're going to be left behind. But for time's sake, I want to focus on these two right here because those are pretty big ones, okay? But communication is a choice. Remember, in life, you communicate in a couple ways. You persuade when you communicate. Like you use that in a workplace. Hey, we should do it this way. And so you have to persuade a coworker or your boss to do it this way because you found this new idea. You have to negotiate. How often do you negotiate? Hey, I'll cover your shift if you do my shift on Saturday. Or, hey, if you do this, I'll do that. So we communicate and negotiate. If you're a salesperson, your job is to negotiate and persuade. So you have to be a good communicator. We public speaking. Public speaking is a way to communicate. Hunter does it. Hunter's going to do it next week at the CDC. I'm going to get to watch him along with 15 other people. Okay? But we public speak in order to communicate a message. That could be you to a group of people at your workplace. It doesn't have to be you doing an event or something like that. You have to learn how to present. Whether you're in a meeting, a business meeting, agenda meeting for your organization, hey, can you present on this topic at our meeting? Sure, go ahead. Okay, now you have to communicate. Or whether you're just presenting something in a small group, you know, you guys get in a huddle for soccer. Hey, this is what I think we should do. You should do this, and you should kick it here, and I'll sprint to this middle, and you hit me on the fly, and we'll score a goal. You communicate and give a presentation, a mini presentation, so to speak, even something like that. It all starts with communication. But our listening and nonverbal, that is a way we communicate that we don't often think about, okay? And so we start with listening. Listening, you can't communicate without somebody also listening, taking in what you said or wrote, okay? And so there's a five-step listening process that I would use, okay? Besides looking at the weird ears up here, okay? But you got to use your ears because there's two of them to listen. First, you have to receive the information. For you to listen, you have to receive what is being said. You have to receive it by not inserting your own opinion before the person finishes. Let them finish out what they're trying to tell you. Let them finish the whole entire email. Let them finish the whole entire text before you interject your own opinion sometimes. So receive the information. Take it in. Be open to it. Don't close yourself off. Second, you got to understand. You got to understand what the person is trying to say. Maybe you understand where they're coming from, why they're communicating this message. Okay? Don't jump. Not jumping to conclusions is a big thing. And next, you have to remember. A lot of times we listen to respond. We listen to do that. We don't listen to learn. So by listening, you can learn a lot. You might learn just one little tidbit, but that's super important in your life. So listen to remember. Listen to learn, to grow. That one thing you remember and listen to could be the thing that maybe saves you. Okay? You got to listen to evaluate. Once you hear somebody tell you something, you do this already. Okay? You do this in about 2 seconds. You evaluate what the person just said. Do I agree with it? Do I disagree with it? Do I hate it? Do I love it? Do I think it's honest or do I think they're lying to me? You evaluate what the person communicated with you in a split second. And this evaluation process doesn't take an hour. It takes like 2 seconds. So make sure you're understanding and then evaluating it before you give a response. Don't just speak off the cuff. That usually gets us in trouble more often than not. And then fifth, our last stage of listening is responding. After all of that, then we respond with an answer, with a thought, with an opinion, with an idea. Okay? It's not the second stage, it's the last stage. And it's very important that you understand in the listening process for communication, responding is the last stage possible. Okay? It is not something we go to first. But you have to listen to be a good communicator. If you don't know how to listen, you're going to struggle in the professional world. Because it's not always what you have to say. You have to listen to a variety of people. The other thing we got to work on is our nonverbals. Okay? Our nonverbals being the things we do with our body, our body language. That's why there's body language experts that look into how our body works when we communicate. Okay? So our biggest thing is our face. You realize there's 43 muscles in your face. Okay, that's a lot of muscles that can do little movements that can make your face look surprised, shocked, happy, angry, pissed, surprised. It can do a lot of things, and you say a message without even saying any words by what your face does. You look at somebody's face, you can just automatically assume they're communicating a good thing or a bad thing. They're trying to be happy with you or they're not happy with you, just by the way their face is. So it's something to take into account when you're communicating. How does your face look? Okay? How does your face look? How does it come off as? You have to know that your face can be a great indicator for a good communicative message. Next, our body posture. How you sit, how you stand, how you carry yourself. That communicates something that words often can't. You know, you're waiting in an interview room, waiting room, to be sent back for an interview. And the person looks out at you and you're slouching. You're slouching over, you're leaning backwards, you're leaning to the side, you don't have good posture. That communicates a lack of professionalism on your part. That communicates that I don't care. You might care a ton, but just the fact that you carry your posture in a certain way says completely different. Okay, so how you carry yourself, your posture matters. So work on it. I get it, some people have slouching shoulders just naturally. I get it. But if you can work on having good posture, that is going to communicate a good message for you. Third, your gestures. And more specifically, your hand gestures, what you do with your hands. Now, I'm not talking about the middle finger here. We all know that's a gesture that is widely used in road rage, and it communicates a message, that's for sure. But that's not one I want to look at, because that's not a professional message. But the gesture of how you use your hands, is it in a positive way or a negative way? Just imagine right now you're walking by this room, and let's say there's a big window here. You're walking by this room, and all you see me doing is this. You're probably like, Mr. H, you're pissed. Like, he's pointing fingers at people. Well, what in the world is happening in there? But you don't know what I'm saying. All you can just see is me doing this. Okay? Your gestures, what you use your hands with, says a message. It communicates a message. That's why going back to the beginning of the year, I said open hands. Someone can see your palms. They're more open to you. They're wanting to engage and listen to you a little more than if you have negative hand gestures. Your hands are in your pockets all the time. So think about the gestures you use with your hands and or how you can be better with it. Maybe you don't use your hands enough when you're communicating. Maybe you need to start using them more. And that adds to your message. People want to listen to that. So your body language with your hand gestures. Your eye contact is big. If you don't know how to maintain eye contact with somebody, you need to start learning how to. I'm not saying peer into their soul, but you need to, when you shake a hand, you meet somebody for the first time, when they're talking to you, look them in the eye. That shows a level of professionalism. For those of you going to the CDC next week, when you shake the judge's hands before the competition, look them in the eye. That creates a level of respect right away for that person. when someone's going to interview you, look them square in the eye. Do it. It's going to help you out. Eye contact is something that if you don't give, I automatically assume that you don't care about me, you don't respect me, and you're very self-centered. I don't know that, but that's what you communicate by simply not maintaining eye contact. Second to last is touch. Positive touch, fist bumps, high fives, pat on the back. We all look at that as a positive form of communication. It is. That's why you see a lot of teams do that. When something goes well in the office, hey, high five, a fist bump. That's positive communication. You don't need any words there, but we're communicating something positive just happened. When it's a negative thing, though, when I maybe push you away or getting too close and I shove you away, like, ugh, get away from me. That's negative. I'm communicating that. Don't get around me. You don't need to get close to me. I don't care about you. I don't like you. That's what that's communicating, whether you think it or not. So communicate with your touch, positive message, uplifting things. And then last, space. Sometimes you got to give somebody some of their space. You can't be in everybody's bubble. You can't be 2 inches away from them all the time when you're talking to them. Give them some space. Give them some room. Okay? Give them some room to breathe. So space is good to have when you're communicating. That is a body language thing that helps you look better. Okay? Here's a way you could do that.
Good morning, sir. What can I get started for you today?
So in that movie, Eddie Murphy had only 1,000 words to use.
Mr. Harper's room, how can I help you?
Yep. Good. Can I get back to you? I'm in the middle of the class right now. Can I? Yep. Perfect. Thank you. No worries.
He could have done that.
So he had 1,000 words to use before he died, or his life was over. So he had to use a lot of nonverbals, his body language, just speak for him. That's how powerful it is. You can do a lot of things by just how you carry your body language, what you do with your hand gestures, the motions you make. So maybe you do that. Go to Starbucks, go to fast food, go to Burger King when Josh is working there, and don't speak to Josh. Make Josh figure it out using your body language.
Yeah. I feel like if somebody walked up to you and said, you can only use 1,000 words before you die, you'd be like, all right, ASL, let's learn this right now.
ASL 101.
What if the other person, I wouldn't be able to, like, wait, if I can't say a word for the rest of my life, do I live forever?
You write
Ooh.
It.
Yeah, then you
then
write
I'd
it.
Go to hospital, maybe ask for my vocal cords to be surgically removed or something.
Yeah, so you don't have any temptation, yeah. Okay. But see what you can do with your nonverbals.
Well, just write it out.
Yeah. A guy named Adarab. First name's Adarab. Meribian. Albert Meribian. Meribian. He's a UCLA professor, psychology, kind of an expert on spoken word and communication. He came up with this theory. So it's named after him, the Meribian theory. And he came up with this 7-38-55 theory. And so when we're communicating, what is somebody taking in? What is the other people viewing when they're on the other side of communication? 55% is body language, not what you say. 55% of what people will take in comes from your body language, what you are doing when you're saying it. That's why if you just say something and you're straight up and you're like no personality, you're like a wall, no one's going to pay attention to it. I'm telling you, very, very little people are going to take in what you have to say. So your body language plays a huge role. The second thing that plays a huge role is your tone of voice. Not what you say, but your tone of voice. I mean, have you ever heard your mom say, it's not what you said, it's how you said it? That's where that comes from. But it's so true when you think about it. We often hear the tone of what somebody is communicating in, and we take that into account more so than the words they're actually using. If I could tell you something that's really helpful, and I'm telling you how to do something, but if I come off as angry, because maybe I've told you three times already, but I'm saying it in an angry form, you're not even thinking about what I'm saying. You're thinking about, oh, Mr. H is angry. He's saying it in an angry tone. But if I'm telling you something that, you know, maybe is positive for you, but I'm doing it in an uplifting manner, I'm using touch, I'm using a pat on the back, now you're feeding into that message more and more. You're believing it. You're listening to it more and more, not dismissing it because of the tone of voice or the lack of body language. So your tone of voice matters a great deal. And then 7% of what you say that is taken in is from your spoken word. Out of the actual words you say, only 7%, according to this theory, is what is actually taken in. Okay, so make sure you focus on your body language. Make sure you focus on your tone of voice. Don't do this.
Oh God, I love this.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map.
Oh, I remember this.
Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S., or should help South Africa, it should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for
Always finish with, so we can build up our future. And that always makes it sound good, right? Now, give her, I mean, she's doing this in front of millions. She's answering a question on the spot in front of a million people at least, okay? We might never be in that position to communicate something back and forth in front of a million people. You'll be in an interview, though, someday where you're maybe one-on-one with somebody. Or you're in a group interview, or you're in an interview like the employee building skills where you got four people that are interviewing you, okay? You got to know how to confidently answer a question and verbally communicate something, right? You have to. Otherwise, you look like Miss South Carolina there. And just so you know, she did not win.
Really?
She did not win. I don't know if that answer influenced it, but she did not win.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Our last one I want to touch on is verbal communication, okay? And when we verbally communicate, this is the thing we do probably most often, right? We use our voice to communicate words. We do it every single day. We don't usually think about it, though, in terms of how good are we at communicating with our words. No matter what job you have, you're going to have to do it in some way, shape, or form. You might not be a public speaker. You might not be a teacher. You might not be a coach. You might not be talking every part of the day. But you will have to verbally communicate at least in some way, shape, or form. So there's kind of five C's I would look at. And I stole it from this guy named G. Riley Mills. And he's kind of a communication guru type of guy. He came up with the five C's that I really like. The first one is be clear. This has two different looks and viewpoints on it. Be clear with the words you say, okay? Meaning that you articulate things in a well-spoken manner. You don't mumble. I hate those who mumble. You want to look non-professional, mumble. Look down at the ground. You can do that with your friends all you want, but once you get in a professional setting, you have to leave the mumbling behind. You have to articulate with a good voice, with a good speech, okay? Otherwise, that you might not get a second opportunity. When you're in an interview or you're talking with somebody of high-ranking power, you might only have that one opportunity to let them hear your voice and hear what you have to say. Don't waste it mumbling and talking very soft and not articulating clearly, okay? You also have to be clear with your words. Be clear with the words you say. Don't use extra words that aren't needed. Don't use words that are hard to figure out. Don't form sentences that don't mean much or somebody has to, you know, get out a code breaker to figure out what you're trying to tell them. be clear with what you're communicating. Second, you have to be concise. You have to be concise, meaning don't ramble and ramble and ramble. Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest speakers ever to live, okay, gave one of the most iconic speeches ever. The Gettysburg Address, okay? Most iconic speeches ever. He did it in 272 words in under 3 minutes.
What?
No. 272 words under 3 minutes. One of the most iconic speeches ever known. And you'd think, man, this guy probably had a speech that went 15 minutes. He had everybody on their feet. Clapping was incessant. It must have just been this great, grand speech.
How many words was it?
272.
That's not a lot, really.
For a president to give an iconic speech, yeah. Like you'd say, okay, 272 words, here, go speak on, you know, the color green, why it's better than the color yellow, go. You might be able to put 270 words together in a couple minutes. To do an iconic speech, that's tough, okay? But he was super concise, and why do you think it was so memorable? Because people understood it was concise. It wasn't people saying, hey, remember that 29-minute speech Abraham Lincoln gave? No, remember that 2.5-3 minute speech Abraham Lincoln gave. Everyone could remember it a lot easier. So be concise. So in being concise, I'm going to move on to the next one. Being confident. If you don't sound confident in what you're verbally saying, how do you think somebody else is supposed to believe it? If you're going to be confident in telling your coworkers, hey, I really think we should do this. We got to get this done right now. This is super important. If you don't sound confident in saying it, they're not going to believe it. They're not going to buy it. You are in an interview, you don't sound confident in what you're talking about, the interviewer is going to think, why do I want to hire this person? They don't even sound like they care. They're confident about what they're saying. Be confident. Show confidence. That's why body language is so big, because if you portray confident body language, you can convince somebody to believe in you. You really can. So be... Yeah, exactly. Seriously, you might have to start by faking it till you ultimately believe, hey, what I'm saying is true. Fourth, be credible. Basically with this, don't be a liar, don't be dishonest, don't be trying to deceive anybody, okay? Don't do that. If you are going to be someone that people listen to, like honest Abe Lincoln, you need to build up a reputation of being credible and being honest. You start that right now. If you get a reputation for being a liar, that'll stay with you the rest of your life. It is super hard to get rid of if you get that reputation, okay? So don't. Don't let that happen to you, or don't let the reputation of, hey, they tell us half the truth. They tell us only some of the good things. They leave out always the bad stuff. So they tell you partial truth, but they don't tell you the whole truth. Okay, that's not good either. So be credible with what you're saying. Make their words matter. Give yourself the honest reputation. That stays with you. No matter what your talent is, if you can tell somebody, hey, I have an honest reputation, that means a whole lot. And then finally, be compelling. Be compelling. If you don't have any personality to what you're saying, no one's going to listen to it. No one is. If it's like talking to a wall, all you are is just blah, you're very bland in how you talk and verbally communicate, no one's going to buy it. You have to be compelling. You have to make people want to listen to you. You have to make the words you say matter. Okay? And that, sometimes that means using your words effectively. It doesn't mean you talk all the time. You know, maybe it means, hey, When this person speaks, everyone listens because they don't speak a lot. But when they do, what they say matters. So that means they're compelling in that way. So use a compelling voice. And if you are compelling, people are going to listen to what you have to say. Your verbal communication is a choice that you have to make every single day. You have to make a choice to say, I'm going to communicate when I need to today. I'm not going to keep it in. I know I should communicate with my boss about what's going on, but I'm not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Communicate. Over-communicate. Every time we've had a delay this week or a day off, I'm going to let my boss know. I let Jennifer know. Hey, we got a delay today. We got Plymouth canceled school today. Because that impacts what I do. And so I want to let her know that to over-communicate so she knows I'm not like, you know, hey, Plymouth had a day off. Mr. Hotmore was probably laying out in his bed somewhere or, you know, kicking it in some, you know, deserted place, just hanging out. No, he let me know there's no school today, but he's still going to work. So make sure you over-communicate. That always helps you. It builds up a good reputation for you. All right? Then the last one that I was going to cover, I won't here for time's sake, but it is writing. Okay? Basic short version of it. If you don't know how to write, employers can't hire you. They cannot hire you. If you don't know how to write emails, reports, you don't know how to write memos, you don't know how to write a request for a vacation, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You have to know how to write. That's what employers are looking for. It's a skill that you don't have to show. I have a master's degree in writing, but if you don't know how to do it, you're going to struggle with it. You're going to struggle in the professional world if you don't know how to write. So that's why starting something like a blog is good, because it helps you learn that process automatically. All right. The rest of the time is yours to work on CDC stuff. Okay. I do want to...
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.